Come a long way since a couple of days before Grace Covenant Church started in its first worship service. One of the single adults from Calvary Church that had been in my Sunday school class called me, and it was Judy Overholtz. Judy, I hope you're watching. And she said, "Darren, do we have anybody to play the music on Sunday?" And I said, "Nope, we don't have a single person that can play a single instrument at Grace Covenant Church. And unless Dr. Hall stays healthy long enough, I'm going to have to lead the singing." So Dr. Hall has had the benefit of me praying for him every Sunday morning for 36 years. And I said, "Judy, why'd you call?" She said, the relationship, it was her brother's mother-in-law. I forget the relationship, but she said, "Pat Allen can play the piano." And I said, she said, "I'm not sure if she's any good or not." I said, "It doesn't matter." And poor Patricia Allen, God bless you. Patricia, I hope you're watching now. She died about 2 weeks ago. And she's played the piano for us at the very, very beginning. And the funny story behind that is she used to get kind of tired by the third hymn, and she'd slow way down. And there was nothing we could do. We just sang slower. And then one day she called and said, "I'm sick. I can't play tomorrow." And I said, "Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do?" And so I called my mother. My mother had not played in public a day in her life, but she played the piano all of her life. I grew up listening to her play, and I knew she could play pretty well. And I said, "Mom, well, I need you tomorrow." And she said, "To do what, honey?" I said, "Lead the worship service and play the piano." She almost had a heart attack. She practiced all night long, and she came. But she had heard me talk about Pat Allen being slow and slowing down. So anyway, Mom's playing. She was sitting at the piano playing, and she kept looking up, and she kept looking up at me while she was playing. And I was up here, and she would say, "Pastor?" And I'd say, "Why is my mom calling me Pastor?" And I'd look at her, and she'd play a little bit, and then she'd say, "Pastor?" And I'd go, "My mom is having a heart attack. She lost her mind. She's referring to me as Pastor." And finally, after the service was over, I said, "Mom, why were you calling me Pastor the whole time?" She said, "I wasn't saying Pastor. I was saying, Faster?" We've come a long way. How many of you remember Tony Grove? How many of you know Tony Grove? Yeah. Tony Grove used to play the guitar for us and lead worship. And somebody asked me once, they said, "Why are you letting her lead the worship?" I said, "Are you volunteering?" We've had some fun. We've had some great memories in this building. Let me talk about the plans that God might have for us. The scripture reading was from Matthew 21, and my sermon title is Path of Least Resistance. What now? Half of the answer for what now is in the title, Path of Least Resistance. We're not taking it. Amen? Because part two is the title of a good book by Eugene Peterson. If you haven't read it, you need to go buy a copy of Eugene Peterson's A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Amen? That's where we're going. The reading from today was talking about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and I always chuckle at that title, Triumphal Entry. That was some editor hundreds of years after that passage was written. He decided that was a good name for it, the Triumphal Entry. People were laying branches down and laying their cloaks down, and people were shouting, "Hosanna." But you need to understand the context, and the one thing I've been pounding the pulpit about for 36 years is context, context, context. The contextual piece makes the puzzle all fit together. If you go back one chapter from Matthew 21, the triumphal entry, you read this. As Jesus had just left Jericho, and he just healed two blind men, Everybody knew, wow, what an incredible miracle. He pulled the 12 disciples aside, and on the way up to Jerusalem, he said, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he'll be raised on the third day. So you ask yourself, if you were Jesus and you were walking into Jerusalem knowing what was coming, the path of least resistance for him would have been to do what? You're going into Jerusalem, they're going to mock you, flog you, and crucify you. The easiest, safest, most comfortable thing to do would be to do a 180-degree turn and go the other direction, knowing what lay ahead, except for the last little phrase it says, and he'll be raised on the third day. I would have been very tempted to avoid Jerusalem and take the path of least resistance unless I had the long-term view of what was at the end of the road. So shall we avoid obedience? Shall we avoid long-term commitment? Let's just enjoy life and eventually ease on out of this mortal life and slide right on into heaven, where God has prepared a place for us. We could, but instead we learn from Christ himself. In Hebrews chapter 12, here's what we learn. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. It goes on to say, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. What a great passage. So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Faint-hearted, that's a word we don't use much. It's an old-fashioned word, and what it means is so that you won't become anxious and fearful and apprehensive. Faint-hearted, that's the opposite of heroic. May we run with endurance, focus our eyes on Jesus, not grow weary or anxious and fearful. Stay on track. Stay on the path that God has prepared for us. And remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8. How in the world can we possibly do this? We are weary sometimes. We're tired of being obedient sometimes. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We get to choose the path of least resistance, or the path that God has chosen, and the path for which God has equipped us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God continue to give each one of us his grace and his mercy and his strength and guide us into the future. He's led us pretty far. Let's continue to faithfully follow and enjoy his blessings. Amen. We've been blessed within this building. God has blessed us with this building in the first place. I remember when we took a vote, and the vote was 88-2 on whether or not to buy the building. Then I've told people before, I said, the two people that voted against it were a banker and a realtor. And I look at the numbers and I go, let's see, we paid $472,000 for it, and we just got paid $7.5 million for it. So I wonder how the banker and the realtor feel now. But it's not about the money. It's about what God would have us do next. Where does He want us to go? May we be faithful and enjoy His blessings. Let me talk about come with some of the blessings. How many of you got married in this building? Hey, look around. That's awesome. How many of you dedicated 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 children in this building? Look around. That's awesome. How many of you were ordained here? There were 2. Ordained as ministers of the gospel. How many of you became elders and deacons here and have served faithfully? And a shout out to Ted Smith, to all of the deacons, to Craig Taylor, and to Andrew, all of the deacons that have kept this crazy building going for so long. Ted Smith's been called by me about 100 million times to say there's a light bulb out, or the lights in front don't work, or the electricity won't come on. You guys have been faithful in helping us continue to use this building. How many of you celebrated your graduation from high school or college while you were here? How many of you have been here your whole life? Y'all look around. Raise your hands high, y'all. Ain't that cool? How many of you have been here your whole life as a Christian? As a believer, this is it. That's awesome. What a privilege to have known you as a family. When people asked me about Grace Covenant, we planted the church, and people knew that I came from the Mary Kay Cathedral, and that's a big church down in the south of town. They said, what kind of church do you want? I said, I want a church that's small enough that I know every child in the church. And God has blessed me with that. It's been a real privilege. But we're not done. We just have good stories to tell. So very quickly, before the dinner gets burnt, how many of you remember the greeter that used to sit in his minivan playing Pink Floyd in the parking lot downstairs when people would walk by? He'd crank up Pink Floyd. How many of you can guess who it was that called me one night at midnight and said, Pastor, you got to come to church? I said, are you crazy? It's midnight on Saturday night. I got to preach tomorrow. He said, no, I need you here right now. Now, some of you can guess already who it was. And he said, you got to come. And I said, why? And he said, my wife is painting the narthex at midnight, and she's high as a kite, and she's got a roller pan and a roller, and she's going, whee! And there's yellow paint all over that hardwood floor out there, and she's having a wonderful time. And I said, I'll be right there. And I showed up. Man, she was having some fun. And Jackie was pulling his hair out, going, Pastor, talk her down off the ladder. How many of you remember somebody shouting fire when the Advent wreath caught on fire? Phew. All right, some of you don't know this story. But I remember way back, one of the parents came up to me one Sunday fairly early on and told me, said, you need to lock the Christian education after Sunday school starts. And I said, why? And she said, well, I've got a child that's an escape artist. I said, well, you can't get out of Sunday school. Where are they going to go? I kind of made fun of her and thought that was ridiculous. As Sunday school ended, I looked around and I went, And somebody said, "Has anybody seen that 5-year-old little girl? You know where she was? Y'all remember where we found her? She was out on South Boulevard waving at the cars going by. We had totally lost Caroline." We've got so many good memories. All right, name the name. Who used to sit right there and criticize my sermons out loud? He'd say, "No, that's not right." I'd go, "Yes, it was, Dad." And he'd correct me. And then afterwards, my mother would say, "Honey, you're not supposed to wear cordovan boots with a blue suit." And then when Dr. Hall would do the scripture reading, my dad would say out loud so everybody could hear him, "He doesn't do a very good job reading the scriptures. I can do better than that." You know, the memories just go on and on and on. But this is our family. And God has blessed our family more than I would have ever imagined. A suggestion was made a long time ago, a couple of years, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, that we just sell the church and give the money away and disband and everybody go their own way. But the elders and the deacons unanimously agreed, this is our family. The church and the memories is all about the people. It's not about the building. It's the people. When one family grows a little bit and they sell their house and move to a new house, they didn't give up the family. They didn't destroy the family. They just moved from one building to another. We're just moving from one place to another with a long obedience in the same direction, praying for God to continue to bless us as He has already richly blessed us. Pray with me for a moment. Heavenly Father, we ask with a great deal of gratitude in our hearts for the blessings we've already had, that You would continue to bless us as a family, as we serve in the community that we move into, as Your witnesses, faithful and obedient, in Christ's name.